how your Washington football team defeated the Raiders, and what it means for the future. All of that, and we're handing out game balls on this Victory Monday episode of the Locked On Washington Football Team podcast.
You are Locked On Washington Football Team, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
You are Locked On the Washington Football Team with the Locked On Washington Football Team podcast. I'm Dave Harrison, writer for SI.com's Fan Nation. He is Chris Russell, one half of the Russell and Medhurst show on the Team 980, Monday through Friday from 3 to 7 p.m. Eastern and on the Odyssey app. We thank you for making the Locked On Washington Football Team podcast first listen every day. We are free and we are available on all platforms and on Twitter at WrestleMania621, at DHarrison82, and Locked WFT Pod. The Washington Football Team defeated the Las Vegas Raiders by a score of 17-15 and now move to 6-6 on the season. An amazing feat considering they were just 2-6 like yesterday, it seems. But unfortunately, Chris, some bad news in the process as the Washington football team loses. As they're starting to get healthy, It looks like they've lost tight end Logan Thomas again.
Yeah, this is this is brutal news after an emotional gut check win on a very short week and a long travel and with the Dallas Cowboys coming to town next Sunday, David, this sucks. So according to both Adam Schefter and Ian Rappaport here on Sunday evening, as we record this, we waited as long as we could and we got the news and now it's go time. It looks like Logan Thomas, unfortunately, has a torn ACL and perhaps more. They'll confirm that on Monday. But when they report it like this, I'll just take you behind the curtain. I'm sure you know this, but maybe our audience doesn't. These guys are getting this from either Ron Rivera or, a general manager or whatever. Right. In all likelihood, Ron Rivera, number one. And number two, they're all, it could be from the player's agent, I suppose. But more, they're reporting this because they do the sideline, the immediate test, which PTs and head athletic trainers, they know enough. They can feel and they can see right away within 99 out of 100% certainty whether the ACL is shot. And that's probably what happened here on the field, or as soon as they got him back in the locker room, and they probably knew it pretty quickly, and that's what they're basically fearing, and that's what we should expect. Unfortunately, I got to say this. I mean, I've watched the replay maybe 100 times, and it is an unnecessary low hit. I saw it immediately, David, and I went back and I watched it several times on slow Zoom replay. Logan Thomas is kind of sifting from right to left in terms of blocking on an Antonio Gibson run up the middle. And he's not doing anything other than his job. And Yannick Ngakoue, a longtime veteran defensive lineman who's done a lot of good things in this league, I'm not quite sure, honestly, what he's doing. I'm really not. He clearly hits him on the knee or just below. I don't know what he's doing. He's not engaging the block. He's not trying to make a tackle that you can say, he's just reaching for Antonio Gibson. None of that is true. So unless I'm seeing it the wrong way, and I don't think I am because I've watched it probably 75 times at this point, I thought live that it was very suspect and questionable. Watching it more, I thought it was even more suspect and questionable. Watching it over and over and over and over and over again on a loop, just as we're recording this and just as we got the news, I'm even more convinced it was unnecessary, dirty, not a football play, not legit. And it just ended a season for Logan Thomas. And more importantly, or just as importantly, I would also say not only does it take some of the joy out of a big win, but it also really, really hurts the Washington football team's chances of improving from 6-6 now and winning a division or solidifying their playoff spots. It doesn't end it, but it really hurts. Yeah.
Yeah, he's a huge part of that offense. He's a huge weapon. He's a huge leader. He's a captain on the team. He's obviously a very versatile weapon. He's someone that when you have a quarterback that has some inconsistencies the way that Taylor Heinicke does, he is one of the guys, along with guys like Terry McLaurin, that can make some of those look okay, that can cover up some of those errors, some of those flaws. And he's the kind of guy you need on the field. And it's upsetting, it's disappointing that it happened the way that it did. I don't know Yannick Ngakoue. I remember a very talented player. He's a captain on the Raiders defense as well, for what that's worth. There's only two things I can think of outside of Yannick Ngakoue just kind of flat out saying, you know what, I'm going to go hit this dude low. That would not necessarily make it better, but potentially in the heat of battle, maybe explain it. One could be maybe he got cut block earlier in the game, didn't appreciate it, and basically it's his way of coming back, which we know in all sports and baseball, especially hockey, stuff like that, there are unwritten rules of retribution and payback and all that stuff. And I don't know, you'd have to go back through the game. You know, if Logan went low on Yannick at one point and Yannick said, hey, dude, you know, I got it, you're going to get it back. And that's basically what he's doing. I'm not saying I co-signed it, I'm not saying I approve of it personally, but, you know, we do know of rules like that in other fields of athleticism. Or it could be one of those things where Yannick, you know, not completely clear where the play was going, thought maybe Logan was leaking out the backside of the action to be a receiver and didn't want him to get away with it. And he decided, unfortunately, to go low on Logan. And listen, every time the concussion conversation comes up, football players that are candid about it will tell you that they would rather a player go low on them or go high on them rather than go low on them, because you hit somebody up high, even a concussion, usually you're going to miss 2-3 weeks at the most. And that's usually for a severe concussion, you're going to miss 2 or 3 weeks and you're going to come back. But you hit him in the knee and look at what we're dealing with right now. You're probably looking at Logan Thomas being done for the year, and he's going to miss a lot of his offseason training time potentially that he could be committing to his craft. Instead, he's going to be committing it to healing and trying to rehab before spending the early part of the spring trying to get back into football shape. So yeah, an unfortunate situation. And Chris, you know, to the evidence of his impact up until that point, 3 catches, 48 yards and a touchdown, and a guy that opened up a lot of underneath at lanes in the passing game as the defense was accounting for him running through their linebacker group and into the secondary.
Yeah, I mean, you start on, you know, the very first drive of the game, and he makes a tremendous catch in the end zone for the first score, for the first touchdown. It was not a good throw by Taylor Heinicke in terms of accuracy. It was high. It was outstretched. It was one-handed, basically capping off a excellent, excellent drive. 9 plays, 75 yards, 5 minutes and 21 seconds to start the game. And he's worked his ass off to get to this point. I'm just crushed for him, you know, in terms of the impact that he's made on this team, even though he missed, 4 or 5 weeks, obviously, actually more than that, coming back from the hamstring after the Atlanta win in week 4. Make no mistake about it, his loss is kind of immeasurable. Obviously, Logan Thomas, the big news on Sunday night in terms of the injury, his status moving forward, will get official confirmation likely on Monday afternoon. Before we get to our immediate analysis on the game, which we just kind of started cutting the corner on, why don't we listen to a voicemail and get the pulse of the Washington Football Team Nation.
It's LP in New Jersey.
Let's go! Woo!
That's all I got.
Well, that's short and sweet by our pal LP. I mean, he's excited. We're all excited. I mean, we're kind of bummed right now because as we record this, we, again, just got the news of Logan Thomas. But, David, I mean, 4 straight wins, that's awesome. Guys, does this sound familiar? You've got one device that lets you catch the game live and another that lets you stream your favorite shows. You're watching sports highlights on your phone, and you've got your neighbor's best friend login for the good stuff. Well, we want to tell you about a simple way to get all of that entertainment you love without the hassle, and a great way to finally get your TV together. It's called DirecTV Stream, and it brings your live TV and on-demand favorites together like never before, so you can watch your favorite sports, movies, and shows all in one place. That means no more juggling remotes, no need to buy another device ever again, and the best part, there's no annual contract. So get rid of the clutter, the confusion, and get your TV together. What are you waiting for? With DirecTV Stream, you can learn more at DirecTV.com. That's DirecTV.com. Compatible device required. Content varies by package. Thanks for making the Locked On Washington Football Team podcast your first listen each and every day. We are free and available on all platforms. We heard from LP, short, sweet, and effective. Let's hit the voicemail line again before our immediate analysis.
Woo! That's right, baby. Skins win again. Four in a row. That's right. I'm so hyped up. I don't know what to do. D-Money. Oh, my God. I don't know what to do. Russ, what's up, man? Four wins in a row, baby. Telling you. That's what I said when I said my last message. We were going to rumble. That's exactly what happened. We rumbled. We won the game, baby. This is Hogskins, and let's go.
All right, Hogskins. We appreciate the passion, baby. We understand it as well. Four in a row is a big deal. David, real quickly, before we get into the rest of the show, this is the second four-game winning streak in the second half of the season in each of Ron Rivera's first two seasons at the helm. Now, last year's ended with four. Who knows what will happen against Dallas? It's going to be tough, obviously. Dallas is going to have extra time here to prepare, rest, what have you. They're going to have certainly a significant amount of fans at FedEx Field on Sunday. But the bottom line is, you know, this current four-game winning streak, while the last year's was three road games, you know, I would say this was probably, to me, this might be more impressive. And here's why. It started with Tampa. And yes, you got some guys back, but you didn't get a whole lot of guys back. And they were really beat up still coming out of the bye. And to start with Tampa, who was coming in off a bye and was well rested, and even though they weren't 100% right, you know, Tampa better than any team they beat in last year's four game streak. Yes, even undefeated 11-0 Pittsburgh. Trust me, they were. At Carolina, dealing with the whole Cam Newton thing, okay. I mean, you know, they got through that. Seattle, Monday night, vanquishing those demons of the Monday Night Football TV series streak that they were on, hadn't won since 2014. And then to go on the road on a short week after a physical game on Monday night, short week, Pacific time zone, loud environment, new stadium, all of the things about Las Vegas that you can pop, and the Raiders off the map, and to basically hold them to 15 points? Really? I mean, to me, I think this winning streak is a little bit more impressive than last year's winning streak.
Yeah, absolutely. And I wrote something like that, you know, in that similar vein for SI.com that, you know, it might look the same. It might look very similar to what's happening in the back half of the season, what happened in the back half of last season, but they're really very, very different. And you point out specifically that Seattle game and then this game. You look at that Seattle game, a 2-point win against the Seahawks, but the way that it went down, right? The Seahawks kind of take a lead a little bit earlier in the game, but then Washington comes in, takes control of the game, takes the lead. And from that point on, I can't say everybody probably felt, you know, the same way that I did as I was watching, but basically you kind of felt like Washington kind of had a handle on that game. They had a kind of a grip. There were some chunk plays here and there and some moments where you kind of said, oh no, you know, is this where they lose their grip? But for the most part, it was kind of a game that they controlled for most of it, if not all of it. And then you look at this game here today and it's a game that they control for most of it, kind of going through it. And you kind of wonder, you know, is this fact that this offense isn't putting points on the board while their defense is keeping the Raiders off the board going to come back and bite you in the butt? And then the Raiders take a late lead in the game, the only lead they had, the first lead of the entire day. And you kind of say, okay, now we're going to find out what this offense is really made of. And they come back. So they lose control of the game and they come back and they grab it at his most critical moment and they come away with the victory. So, you know, the winning streaks look the same. The 2-point wins look the same from a stat sheet perspective, but the way they went down and the way these last two wins especially went down really are very, very different. And I think that in the development of a team and the growth and the talking about the solidarity, the line that the locker room is going to feel towards each other, these are the kinds of wins that you need, you know, as a team. I always kind of go back to the undefeated New England Patriots. That team didn't really face a whole lot of adversity until they got to the Super Bowl. And then once they got to the Super Bowl and faced that little bit of adversity, you could kind of tell that team really didn't know how to dig themselves out of that situation because they hadn't really been punched in the mouth for in the season. I mean, granted, you know, they trailed at some points and all that stuff and all that. But I mean, really at the end of the day, they were kind of always the best team on the field. And that was just kind of how it was going to be in that game. You really kind of saw for the first moment, look like things, and there were some miracle moments and all that got it, but things were kind of breaking the way that it's like, Hey, Pats, like you might actually have to go out there and earn this one instead of just kind of being the best team and it's going to happen. And these are the kinds of wins that the Washington football team has put together, and they've been underdogs or even odds in every single one of them. And I think that's another part of this. The question moving forward, I expect them to be underdogs against Dallas, but if you pull off a win again against Dallas and you move in to your matchups against the Eagles, and then you've got the Giants again in there, you're going to start being favored in some of these games. Does this team bring the same fire being favored in some of these games as they do as an underdog? But fortunately, you've got probably at least one more week of seeing them in that underdog role to completely grow into who they are and their identity as a team.
I'm okay with them being underdogs. This is the first time back-to-back 17-15 wins, first time that's ever been done in NFL history. Not that that's like that impressive. You won two games by 4 points total in 6 days. But you know what? It's really hard to win in this league. One game, never mind two games, never mind four games in a row, two games on a short week with the long travel, all that, you'll take it. And then also just what this win does is it puts them in the sixth spot now in the NFC, because with San Francisco losing in Seattle, they're, 6-6, but Washington has that tiebreaker because of their conference record. And they are two games behind Dallas. So again, even if they beat Dallas this Sunday, they can't be in first place by the time the day is over. But, they at least can move a step closer, even though Dallas, again, would only be 8-5. Washington would be 7-6. They would trail by one game, but they would have the head-to-head tiebreaker. All right, we will get our analysis coming up here before the end of the show. Some other things that stood out to us. But first, guys, Built Bar. That's right. Built.com has your one-stop shop for the holidays, right? If you're looking for a great Christmas gift, a stocking stuffer, or just a big old gift, right? You could do a big old gift pack. Go to Built.com. They're going to help you get some wonderful, wonderful treats that are wonderful to taste. And your family or whoever you buy them for is going to thank you, because they're not only decadent in flavor and covered in 100% soft and easy to chew chocolate, but they're not bad for you. They're great for you. Low in calories, low in sugar, net carbs and fat, high in protein, so many different flavors. You like mine, peanut butter brownie, David's mint brownie. You like a little double chocolate, cookies and cream. They got new flavors coming out. Bing, bang, boom. I mean, I've had a couple of the different flavors. Oh, so good. Everything Built Bar does is just wonderful. Why waste time standing in line when you can just go to built.com and get this amazing offer? If you use the promo code LOCKED15, you'll get 15% off your entire order. That's right. Use the promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at built.com.
And while you're enjoying that Built Bar, go check out our friends over at betonline.ag, because while Built Bar's got you covered for the delicious protein bar market, BetOnline's got you covered with your props, odds, and lines, more of them than ever before as football marches towards the playoffs. BetOnline remains your number one spot for all your sports action this season. So if you haven't already, head over to the new updated desktop or mobile website, sign up today, and get yourself a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit when you use the promo code LOCKEDON. If you're not there for football action, you can get basketball, hockey, boxing, UFC, or your favorite Vegas casino games. Don't wait. Take advantage of everything available for the 2021 season. Bet online is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your favorite sports. Bet online, where the game starts. Wrapping up today's Victory Monday episode of the Locked On Washington Football Team podcast. David Harrison and Chris Russell on Twitter at dHarrison82, at WrestleMania621, and the show at LockedWFTPod. We've got more voicemails from Happy Burgundy and Gold fans. So let's hear, Chris, from another one.
Hey, Chris. Hey, David. It's AW from Northwest Florida. Just finished watching the game, and man, oh, man, after so many years of turning the game off halfway through the first quarter because I had better things to do, whew, why I hung in there for this game just to I don't know, shave a few years off my life. But I tell you what, I think it was almost worth it. That was fantastic. I just want to mention something that I've noticed these past couple weeks, how slippery Heinicke is. I know he's not a perfect quarterback by any stretch of the imagination, but, man, I tell you, as he's getting more comfortable, as he's getting this experience, he certainly earned the right, as I think you guys have said, to be in the conversation, at least to compete next year for the same position he currently holds. I'm just all too impressed. I really didn't think they had it in them. I wasn't confident that they were going to turn the corner this season, but they certainly have. Shaka Toney and Casey Tuhill, barring that one penalty, you know, they're playing within the system and they're doing it. So why would you want to give up dancing with the girl that's dancing with you for the pretty one holding up the wall that all she wants to do is come in and step on your toes? And I hate to say it that way. I'm hoping that, Sweat and Chase come back, and have learned, you know, from watching these young guys know their role, play the position, play the scheme. I think it's been a big advantage. And, man, I'm just pumped. Thank you guys for all that you do. And I'm interested to hear your take. Even though I haven't been calling, I have been listening. So, God bless you guys and enjoy the rest of this victory. Peace.
All right. Thank you, AW. Appreciate you as always. And we know you're out there. Even if you don't call every day, that's fine. That's cool. We love to hear the passion. I know this was kind of instead of Heartbreak Hotel, this was maybe Heart Attack Hotel. I don't know. But the bottom line is you got to be, you know, sometimes it's better to be lucky than good. And sometimes you just have to win ugly. And that's what I would say this team has kind of been doing. And he's right about, I didn't notice Shaka Toney and Casey Tuhill as much, David, in my first run through the game live, as much as I have in previous weeks. So I'll be on the lookout when I go back and watch the game again. But there's no doubt that they're playing more sound and disciplined on the entire defense.
Absolutely.
And they're tackling for the most part better, and they're not getting bludgeoned by big plays constantly. And hey, you know, a guy who I've been tough on, Bobby McCain made a hell of a play on the final series for the Las Vegas Raiders. That could have easily, and it almost was, it could have easily been the game-winning touchdown, and we would have a different conversation. That was a heck of a play, and it obviously saved the win.
Yeah, I mean, players stepping up in the most important minutes, and I think that, you know, Shaka and Casey, they deserve a lot of credit, you know, like AW has given them, they do. And, you know, you had a guest on earlier last week who pointed it out. We pointed it out when, honestly, when Chase went out, we kind of talked about it. We said, listen, this could be a little bit of an improvement, you know, as surprising might be, as you get some guys in there who aren't necessarily trying to be the hero. They're just trying to do their job. And sometimes you'd be surprised on how that can actually improve a unit. And you know, nothing to say that, you know, when Chase gets back on the field and when Montez gets back to practice, that they're not going to, you know, fill into their starter roles, but it's like your guest said, it's like the listener said, it's like we've been saying, hopefully those guys are paying attention, because we would love to have them listed up here on our plays and players of the game list someday.
No doubt. All right, let's get to the rest of our show, because we are rapidly running out of time. They just don't give us enough time on these Monday editions after a big win. So my play of the game, we're going to go back to where we started tonight, unfortunately, with Logan Thomas. Again, feared to have a torn ACL, but that touchdown on the final, on the first drive of the game, David, they moved the football at will. They started off with a big Antonio Gibson run for 22 yards, play action to John Bates for 23 yards. Terry McLaurin made a great catch, great throw by Taylor Heinicke on 3rd and 10. And then Logan, obviously, with the sky high one handed, you know, athletic grab that, again, not many tight ends can make, is what I'll say. And Logan Thomas is going to be missed. But that, to me, was the play of the game for the Washington football team.
Yeah, absolutely. And when you consider how the rest of the game went and how few points were actually scored, if Logan doesn't go up there and get that ball, who knows how this game goes from that point on. My play of the game is going to be Taylor Heinicke's interception, you know, picked off by Nate Hobbs, the Raiders rookie defensive back. I know it kind of sounds a little bit weird, but again, I'm a big advocate of teams learning through adversity. And I think what Taylor's going to learn from that interception, and I think, and granted, his arm was hit, but he was still throwing into triple coverage. And I think what he's going to learn from that near game-ending interception probably would have been a pick six to another rookie, Trevon Merrick, who I was super high on coming out of the draft, is he doesn't have to be the hero. And I know he already knows that, but I'm hoping that Scott Turner, you know, his quarterback coach, they're going to sit him down, look at those two plays, and say, listen, these are plays you tried to do too much. These are what we're talking about. Look at all the other plays that you did where you didn't try to do too much, and look at your teammates pick you up. Don't try to do too much. Don't be Superman. There's a reason Cam Newton's not in Washington. We don't need that. My player of the game is going to be Antonio Gibson, 28 touches, 111 yards, and a touchdown, a steady presence for a team missing J.D. McKissick. And I think it was really huge. And then, you know, Logan Thomas goes out of the game as well. Running backs and tight ends were going to be a big part of this game the entire time. Plus AG hitting 2,000 scrimmage yards for his career in this game as well. So a very big milestone for him personally. And I think he had a huge impact on this game.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you definitely miss J.D. McKissick. There's no doubt about it. But Antonio Gibson being good, tough, meant you didn't have to necessarily expose Jared Patterson to a lot. And you even saw a bunch of Wendell Smallwood, quite honestly, yeah, in third down J.D. McKissick-type situations. My player of the game, Brian Johnson, the new place kicker, not only the game-winning or go-ahead, but ultimately game-winning 48-yard field goal in a big-time pressure spot. But also, David, he did his job, two extra points. That's all I'm asking for my place kicker to do. Yep. You watch the NFL every Sunday, every Monday, every Thursday. The place kickers in this league are wretched. And Brian Johnson just did his job. Two extra points. Thank you very much. Plus the game-winning 48-yard field goal, which obviously could have backfired on Ron Rivera. Not bad on the kickoffs. A couple of ones short, but you live with that. I'm totally down. Brian Johnson, the new place kicker, the fourth one of the year, my player of the game. All right, unfortunately, that's going to do it for this episode. Thanks to LP, Hogskins, and AW. We got a lot of guys with different acronyms and nicknames and all that good stuff. Thank you for making today's episode of the Locked On Washington Football Team podcast your first listen of the day. Now make your second listen the Locked On Bets podcast, your daily one-stop shop for all your gambling needs. Locked On Bets, hosted by your boy Q, expert analysis and insight from Lee Sterling. If you have a question or a topic you want us to discuss, or you just want to yell, rant, rave, it's 301-615-3577. That's our voicemail line, 301-615-3577. For David Harrison, who is covering the Washington football team on SI.com's Fan Nation, I'm Chris Russell, one half of the Russell and Medher Show on the flagship station for the Washington football team, the Team 980, and the Odyssey app. We'll be back throughout the week with much more episode content, and get you ready for it. Right here on Locked On Washington Football Team Podcast.